Hey everyone, I am back with Brooklyn to tell you more about
Make Crate.
We are loving it. We are on the road this summer to finish filming for the documentary, and one of the very few things we brought with us was our
Make Crate.
Brooklyn, tell people who don't know what Make Crate is.
Make Crate is a fun, hands-on electronics kit paired with an online platform to teach your kids coding fundamentals and engineering skills.
That's right, and there are so many fun things you can do with it. You can make
electronic games, instruments, clocks, a burglar alarm, and lots more.
And lots more fun stuff. And there's no technical expertise required. Where can people find out more about Make Crate?
Go to makecrate.club/SR to order your Make Crate today. And make sure to thank them for this week's transcripts.
I am here with one of my favorite people on the planet, my sweet daughter, Lacey. Lacey, say hi.
Hi.
How old are you, Lacey?
I'm 8 years old.
You are, and you are such a fun girl. You know, your name means cheerful.
Yes, I did know
that. And you are a cheerful girl. We have so much fun with you.
And then my middle name is Joy, so I'm Cheerful Joy.
That's right. Your middle name is Joy, so you're Cheerful Joy. Lacey, where are we right now?
We're somewhere in the middle of the country.
Right. We are somewhere in the middle of the country. And where are we headed?
We're heading to Washington State to finish filming with Miss Heidi St. John.
That's right. We are so excited. We are on the road, and we are going to finish filming Schoolhouse Rocked with Heidi St. John, and God has been so good to open this door for us, and we are really excited about finishing out the movie with her, aren't we?
Yes.
Yep, and we're going to have a great time. We're going to be there for about 2 weeks, and so while we're traveling through the summer and finishing filming the movie, we are playing some of people's favorite episodes from the podcast. Do you know how long the podcast has been on the air?
A year.
You're right. It has been about a year now that we've been on. Can you believe that?
No, I really can't.
I know. It's been a really fun year, hasn't it? Now, since we're replaying some of the episodes, if maybe there's one that someone has already heard, what can they do?
They can share it with another friend.
That's right. They can share it and encourage another homeschool friend or maybe someone who's thinking about homeschooling. And they can be encouraged by the episode too, right?
Yes, they can.
What are some things that people can do for us while we are traveling?
They can pray for us.
They can pray for us. That is right. We need lots of prayer, right?
Yes, we really do.
Right.
Because it's all up to God how this trip goes.
That's right. Pray for our safety. Pray that the filming goes really well. And just pray for God's continued provision for us. And people can also support us by going to
SchoolhouseRocked.com.
That's exactly right, Lacey. If you guys want to know more about Schoolhouse Rocked or how you can support us through prayer and through donations, go to SchoolhouseRocked.com and enjoy the replay of this episode. Welcome to the first episode of a two-part series with Andrew Poudois from the Institute for Excellence in Writing. Be sure to listen in next week for part two. Hey everyone, I am so excited about our guest today. Before we started the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast, we sent out a question to our Schoolhouse Rocked followers and just said, hey, we're starting this podcast. Who do you want to hear on the podcast? What guests do you want? And what do you want us to talk about? And of course, many of you wrote in and said, Andrew Poudois. We saw his name over and over again. And so many of you were very excited about hearing him and wanted to hear more of him, because those of you who have heard him speak know that he is just full of wisdom and knowledge and insight when it comes to homeschooling and family and education. And we, of course, are really excited to have him as part of the Schoolhouse Rocked cast. And so welcome to the podcast, Andrew. We are really excited to have you on today.
Hey, Yvette. It is great to be with you. Thanks for the invite.
Sure, sure. Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and your family.
Okay, sure. My wife and I have homeschooled all of our children. The oldest now is, I want to say, 39, and the youngest just got married at 18. Mm. So that's 7 kids, 6 married, 11 grandchildren. And I've been at this teaching business for a little over 30 years. Mm. And so the time has flown by. I have a little company called the Institute for Excellence in Writing, and we publish video material as well as books and activity types of curriculum to help students with language arts, really to help teachers and homeschool parents help kids learn how to write better, But really, it encompasses all of the language arts, listening, speaking, reading, and writing. And then, of course, the result of good listening, speaking, reading, and writing is better thinking. So a little tagline on our company, if you were to go to our website, IEW.com, you'd see our little tagline. It's listen, speak, read, write, think. And so it's a good role. I've been at it full time for close to 20 years now, working with homeschoolers all over the world. I had the great privilege and pleasure of going with my wife to Russia for the Global Home Education Conference in St. Petersburg and Moscow, Russia last May. And then I went on an undercover trip over to China, I won't even say where, to do a 3-day conference for expat homeschooling families who live in China. Came back, finished up the summer, and then in August went to New Zealand and did a 6-city tour of New Zealand to serve the homeschoolers over there. And so I'm looking forward to when that movie is out and ready and everyone in the world can stream it and see it.
Yeah, well, we'll have to, of course, translate it into Chinese, obviously.
I'd go for Russian first, only because homeschooling in Russia is just, it's exploding.
Yeah.
I mean, it is going to grow so rapidly over there.
That is amazing.
The government evidently is, you know, either neutral or supportive about homeschoolers in almost all places. There are classical conversations programs, I think many dozens of them. There may be as many as 100 CC communities now across the huge country of Russia.
That is amazing.
And that's just going to grow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is so amazing. It's been so encouraging to find out that, you know, when we started Schoolhouse Rocked, we kind of, I think, had a very narrow vision of, well, this is, you know, for the United States, because we were kind of in our little California bubble and that was what we knew. And we didn't realize that homeschooling is growing leaps and bounds across the entire world. It's not just in America. And so it's been really exciting and encouraging. Like you said, we really desire to get the movie out. And so we kind of changed our focus. The movie is obviously filmed in the United States, and all of our cast members are from the US, but it has changed our focus to just say, wow, this is not just a movie that can change people's hearts in the United States. It can change people's hearts around the world. So that is so exciting. I love that you've had the opportunity to go to all these different countries and talk about homeschooling. This is actually not the exact direction that I want the podcast interview to go in, because I have some questions for you, but can you tell us just in a nutshell what the flavor of homeschooling is like? What are parents like in other parts of the country as you've gone there and talked to them about homeschooling?
Well, you know, I've been around a long time, and I've been speaking at homeschool conferences really 20 years now. Mm-hmm. And so the demographic has changed, of course, as homeschooling has grown. More and varied types of people have become interested in it. While I would say, you know, once upon a time, almost everyone was homeschooling for moral or religious mm-hmm. reasons. Now we're meeting people who are coming into it through all different directions. You know, their primary reason may be academic, mm-hmm. And they just know they can do a better job teaching their kids, you know, one-on-one or three-on-one mm-hmm. in an individualized focus setting than any school and teacher, no matter how good the teachers are. Just because of the nature of institutional education. You got people coming in from that side. You got people coming in with special needs and special circumstances mm-hmm. saying, you know, this child has, you know, this thing going on, and it could be health, it could be neurological, it could be, you know, some type of learning challenge, it could be giftedness.
Sure.
And, you know, you're just saying the schools are not equipped to maximize this child's potential. I can do that better. So they're coming in on that side. And then there's other people that are just kind of looking at the whole situation saying, well, boy, there's so many things about that school I don't like, and I can't afford that option. And I'm not really sure that I want to homeschool, mm-hmm. but I don't see any better options. So I kind of like that because, you know, they come in and then hopefully they begin to taste and see the goodness of the homeschool world and the culture and all the resources and opportunities that are available now that weren't 20 years ago. It truly is a case where I think more and more parents are realizing everyone homeschools. Mm-hmm. It's just some people do it full time.
Right.
Everyone has to teach their children at home.
Sure.
It's just, are you going to make that a primary part of your life, or are you going to do it on the side? So, you know, we meet a lot of parents that are coming to conferences now saying, well, I don't know. I don't know if I can do this. Maybe I can do it. I'm not sure I want to, but man, all the people here are so happy.
Yes. And you see whole families together, which is really exciting. That's one of my favorite parts of going to conventions is when you see mom and dad and kids walking around together and looking at curriculum and going to the different workshops. And it's really exciting just to see that dynamic of the entire family being together. So.
Yep, absolutely. And the family is so under attack in the Western developed world, all around the world, the family is under attack. Yeah. So homeschooling seems to be kind of on the vanguard of let's recapture, let's retain, let's rebuild, let's communicate to the world the great beauty of families functioning, learning, operating, growing together, rather than being split apart by the busyness of life and technology and the newest problem and, you know, the institutions that can distract us.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know for you, because you travel so much, you're always on the road. And I imagine it has allowed you to be able to have a really special kind of relationship with your kids. Because you're able to, when you're home, you're able to be with them instead of them being away at school, you know, and you actually get that time or got that time because now most of them are adults now.
Yeah,
I guess they're all adults.
It was a trade-off because, you know, when you're gone for 3 or 4 days, you know, 30 weeks a year, that's a lot of time to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
And there's mom, you know, feeling like, you know, having to do, you know, both sides of the parenting. And, but then when I'm home, I was always home. So that was good.
Right.
And I could, you know, schedule classes and do things. And then part of it, you know, in our case, because it was a family business rather than, you know, me working for some other company, I would often take, you know, one or two kids with me. And in the early days, I needed them. You know, I needed their suitcase space to bring the books. I needed them and the booth. And so growing up in a family business, I think, you know, it has its pluses and its challenges. Mm-hmm. But overall, I think all of them gained a lot of very practical, very memorable, memorable, positive, and maybe a few, bitter moments, but you know, certainly cultivated kind of a attitude of entrepreneurship that I can see in all of them now. They're all grown up and they're all very entrepreneurial thinking, and a couple of them have started businesses on their own, and it's great to see it's wonderful, Yvette, to have adult children. You don't have adult kids yet,
not yet. Nope, ours are still young.
Well, one thing I would say to everyone who's in that case of young children, or, you know, in the thick of it with a teenager and a 4-year-old all at the same time, is it's so great to have adult children, because I can assure you that all of those things that seemed like super important, like, you know, do you get through the math book by the end of May, actually in the big picture are not all that important. I would say some of the least important part about growing up is the academic side. And the most important part is the adventures and the breadth of knowledge and experience. And of course, above all, the relationships and the spiritual enrichment. And that is so much more easily facilitated, you know, when you've got the time and space and priority to do that. Although, you know, it's easy for us as homeschool parents to get caught up and worried about the academic side, because oh no, we're responsible for, you know, keeping the transcript and having grades and being sure that, you know, this kid is going to make it into college or
right.
get a good job someday. And so there's that anxiety. So we're always balancing that freedom along with that anxiety about academics.
Yeah. And that's a real struggle, of course, for homeschool moms. You know, our oldest is in seventh grade this year. And I'm now starting to think, oh gosh, she's going to be in high school in 2 years and I have to start keeping real transcripts for her. And, you know, there can be a lot of anxiety that goes along with that. And like you said, it's not about just the academics. I mean, those are important, but it's so much more. School is so much more than just academics. It's about character building and family and relationships and stuff, like you said. And it's so exciting. But that doesn't always take away the questions that the moms have. And it's a big responsibility that we put on ourselves, and that God gives to us when we choose to take on this role of home educating our children. Cause it is an important thing in so many areas. I mean, it's their whole life that you're holding in your hands. And, so only by the grace of God can we get this done effectively.
And that's what you realize is, you know, they were God's kids all along.
That's right.
You're just helping out, doing your best. Can I put in a little plug for the HSLDA, the Homeschool Legal Defense Association?
Absolutely.
You know, I'm a big supporter of HSLDA. They, of course, are strongly behind the support for global home education freedom. Mm-hmm. And in the early days, people would join HSLDA because they thought, oh no, if social services comes banging at my door, if the truant officer calls, you know, what would I do? I want this insurance. So they would join HSLDA for that purpose. And I believe that we've become a bit complacent in the homeschool communities because we haven't had too many huge legal problems. Mm-hmm. In most states, you and I both homeschooled in California for a while. Mm-hmm. It's a very homeschool-friendly state. I'm in Oklahoma. It's probably the most homeschool-friendly state. And even the less homeschool-friendly states, which I will not name by name, you out there who live there know where you are. You know, we kind of take for granted now the freedoms mm-hmm. that we have to do this. But honestly, you know, the Homeschool Legal Defense Association does so much more than provide, quote, you know, legal representation mm-hmm. insurance in case you have a problem. I would just encourage everyone to join the HSLDA, not because you think you might need their services, but because what they're doing is a tremendously good work, and that is holding every single, you know, agency or government or office that interfaces with homeschoolers accountable in subtle ways, not mm-hmm. just, you know, is it legal or not, but do homeschool graduates have the same opportunities and rights? And is someone, you know, infringing on that by mm-hmm. saying, no, your school diploma doesn't count? And then, of course, they provide some wonderful services. In fact, you might, as having kids going to high school, mm-hmm. you might want to look into their transcript service,
because right.
they will, you know, they have a great little service. It's not very expensive, and it will help you to stay organized mm-hmm. for this next decade of having kids go through high school and all that. So I just hope that everyone, I wish everyone would join the HSLDA, because more than any other organization that I know of, they are standing on the front line of the right of parents to direct the upbringing and education of their children. And I fear, you know, that right, while we may be taking it for granted, could be not only infringed, but actually, you know, cut
sure.
in many cases very quickly without us even noticing.
Yep.
And then what would we do? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I appreciate that. And you're welcome to HSLDA for that commercial. that was not planned for those listening. But I love that you and I last month, I think it was, we were at the HSLDA National Leaders Conference in Washington, DC. And, you know, we've been members of HSLDA for many, many years. I guess this is our eighth year of membership with them. We're now actually lifetime members, because we figured We're gonna do this forever. Yep. So may as well just go for the lifetime. But I really didn't know all the things that they offered, and we've been members for a long time, and there's so much stuff on their website, but they really are a fantastic organization, and the freedom that they have fought for and the freedom that they continue to fight for and protect for homeschool families is incredible. And like you said, I think we do take for granted that we have this freedom to homeschool. And when we started, we really didn't know all of the backstories that had gone on in all. I mean, there were parents, you know, just like you and I, who were regular homeschool parents who were threatened in big ways for choosing to take their kids out of school and saying, we're going to home educate them. And they fought long and they fought hard and they fought tough to get these freedoms for us today. And most people don't know about that. The other thing that I really had my eyes open to were state organizations that kind of, they don't fall under the leadership of HSLDA, but I know they work very closely sometimes with HSLDA, but on their own, they really work hard to protect the freedoms in their individual states. And then they're there for their own state families to encourage them and equip them and to keep their own freedoms for their own individual states. And I think a lot of people, we're actually going to be doing an interview later this week with Rebecca Kosis. She's the state one of the state representatives for CHEA, which is in California. And we're going to talk with her about state organizations. But yeah, I agree. It's so important to stand behind those people who are standing in front of us and keeping those walls broken down so that we can continue to homeschool our kids. So anyway, so I have a couple of questions. You and I could talk all day long. When we interviewed you for Schoolhouse Rock, I remember, I think I might have asked you maybe four questions. And your interview was 2.5 hours long and it was awesome. And it was kind of funny. We came away from there and we said, well, goodness gracious, how do we pull the gold out of this? And so the way we do that, of course, is we've got the Schoolhouse Rocked backstage pass, and we will at some point have your full interview up on there that people can view. Hey everyone, I am here with my oldest daughter, Brooklyn, and we want to tell you about our exciting math program that we use. Do you want to tell them what it is?
It is Teaching Textbooks.
And what are your thoughts on Teaching Textbooks?
I love it. It's fun, it's easy, and it's very enjoyable, especially when you're not a big fan of math like I am.
Yeah, I think you get that from me. I'm really sorry.
Probably.
What is it that makes it fun to do?
Well, for the fun part, I like all the different characters there are and the backgrounds. And for like the learning part, I like how easy the guy makes it and he explains it to you. And the good thing is, if you don't get it the first time, you can definitely go back and watch the lesson again. And that part's great.
Yeah, they do an excellent job of teaching the different concepts. And so if you have not tried it out, go to teachingtextbooks.com. You can actually try the first 15 lessons of any level that they have for free. Just sign up for it. You get them for free. You don't have to even put in a credit card or anything like that. You can just check them out. And it's a very reasonably priced curriculum. So if you're struggling with math, if you're like Brooklyn and I and you don't love math, this is a game changer. And it has been for our family, and we think you will enjoy it too. But I do have a couple of questions for you. Like I said, we had people write in and ask specific questions and they wanted to know some things. And so there are a couple that I thought you would be just great at answering, because I know you talk a lot about motivation in the homeschool day. So one mom wrote in, she said, how do you motivate the daydreamer to buckle down and complete their assignments quickly, but well, so that they can have more free time to pursue their passions? We've tried everything, and even a scaled back assignment will take all day because she has no drive to finish. Do we just have to nag? How would you answer that, mom? Help her out.
Yeah, it's hard to give a specific answer to a specific question without knowing a few more details. Mm-hmm. But I would talk about principles of motivation, which I have studied extensively and talked about and written about. And what I have come to understand over these decades is that there's really four forms of motivation. One, I would call intrinsic So something has intrinsic relevancy, right? Mm-hmm. If something is relevant, meaningful, interesting, engaging, applicable, useful to some degree, it's easier to learn. Wouldn't you agree?
Sure.
If something is not interesting, applicable, meaningful, useful in some way, it's harder to learn.
Sure.
And so this tangible quality of relevancy, when you can get it there, when it's present, learning, teaching and learning are easier. And when it's less present or absent, teaching and learning are harder. So four forms of relevancy I would mention here. And if anybody wants to, you know, listen to this in more detail, there's a 90-minute talk you can get off our website called Teaching Boys and Other Kids Who Would Rather Be Making Forts All Day.
I love that title.
Popular talk.
Yeah, we'll link back to that as well.
There's intrinsic relevancy. That's when something is just so interesting that you are totally engaged, you want to learn about it, you lose your sense of time, you're fascinated, you're excited, you tell everybody what you're learning and doing. And, you know, that's a super blessing when it happens. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, it's not something you can force. It sometimes, you know, happens more often with some kids than others. I mean, there are some kids who are just naturally more kind of inquisitive and curious and will get excited and go pursue something, and others who are just a little bit less so, a little more passive, wait around what to do. So to the degree that we as homeschoolers can find things that are intrinsically interesting to children and get them to do that, they'll be motivated. They'll use their time. They'll use their time productively.
Mm-hmm.
But you may or may not find something that the problem usually comes between what mom believes would be useful learning and what the child believes is relevant and interesting.
Yeah,
there
right.
could be a gap between those two.
Sure.
You know, on the unschooling side of the philosophical spectrum is, don't ever tell kids what to do. Just let them pursue their interests all day and they'll learn and come out great in the end.
Mm-hmm.
That feels a little dangerous to mm-hmm. most of us. Although, you know, I have met families that have done that mm-hmm. and there are schools actually around the world that are based on that principle. And in many cases, the kids seem to have come out pretty good on the other
sure.
end. But I think that total unschooling freedom idea is pretty, you know, most of us are a little bit, well, that's too risky.
Right.
You know? So then there's things that people have to learn that maybe they're not interested in intrinsically. So the next form of relevancy to motivate with would be inspired relevancy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you may not be particularly interested in something, but because someone whom you love or respect is interested in that thing, you hang out with them and you kind of catch vicariously a desire and mm-hmm. interest, a relevancy from that thing. I've seen this happen in any number of cases of, you know, parents who put kids in a class. The kid's like, I don't want to do that class.
Right.
And then, you know, the teacher or one of their friends, or they make a new friend, someone in that environment is so inspiring that suddenly that kid likes that class
right.
and wants to go and wants to read more and wants to study and wants to become good.
Yeah.
I would say probably the most frequent story I hear is the public speaking or speech and debate. You know, kids are very shy. I don't want to do public speaking. I don't want to stand in front of people. I don't want to memorize a speech. I don't want to do a debate. And, you know, you just get them in there and do it for a while. Pretty soon, you know, it's the bug. The bug bites them, like the acting
mm-hmm.
bug. You know, it's, wow, that was cool. Okay, I got to do that. Not only do I want to do that again, I want to be good at it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to polish the speech. I'm going to practice this thing. I'm going to, you know, do extra research so I can be good. So that speech and debate in my world is kind of the most obvious example mm-hmm. of power of inspiring. For us as homeschoolers today, we have a lot more opportunities to help get our kids connected with people who love something.
Mm-hmm.
I I personally don't really like science very much. I never wanted to teach science. If you said, here, you know, you have to do biology or physics with your kid, I'd say, well, let's hurry up and pretend we did this so we can go do something meaningful, you know. But now with co-ops and classes and programs like Aquinas Learning, Classical Conversations, online classes, mm-hmm. which are really very surprisingly interactive, mm-hmm. with experts, teachers, and many of these teachers now were homeschool kids themselves,
right,
who are now adults teaching online classes and teaching co-op classes, yeah, for the next generation of homeschoolers. And this is so exciting because their enthusiasm seems so, and I'm sure you've seen this. You go hear a speaker,
yep,
or a teacher, and you are so inspired to learn more.
Yes.
So kids are like that. But some things are just not interesting, like a lot of workbooks that kids have to do. Mm-hmm. They don't see the relevancy. You know, why should I have to mark all the parts of speech in this grammar workbook? Why should I have to do all this math? Math is not part of my real life. I don't use double-digit multiplication, right, in reality. It's just a exercise in futility that,
sure,
you know, stresses me. You know, what else could be like that? You know, English spelling stuff. You know, even in our world of teaching writing, a lot of kids don't like having to stay in one spot and wrangle their brain around the process of thinking of something, saying it to themselves, hearing what they say to themselves, remembering what they heard themselves say to themselves, find a few letters to make a word they might know how to spell and not forget all that while they're doing it. I mean, I've been often thinking about the writing process. It's so phenomenally complicated. Mm-hmm. It's proof that humans could not possibly have evolved.
Right. Oh,
I mean,
yes.
We must be a special creation from an infinite intelligence.
Yeah.
Because the things humans do, particularly this activity of writing, is so incredibly complex. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so how do we help kids with that stuff? Well, this is where we'd move into the third area, and I think this is most applicable to the person who asked that question, and that is contrived relevancy. It's not intrinsically interesting. Nobody's thrilled about it. Nobody's going to inspire you. So now how do you get wanting to do something? So that's when we can try to change it into a game, mm-hmm, right? And sometimes it's a very small shift from a chore to a challenge, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the trick. If parents,
sure,
can shift the thing from being a chore to be procrastinated, avoided, done in slow motion, tedious, you know, complain to a challenge, I got to get this done, right? Then we see really good success. I'll give you an example of just the slightest little shift,
okay,
that makes a huge difference. Let's say you have a grammar workbook kind of thing, and you turn the page and it says, identify all the prepositional phrases in the paragraph below. Underline each prepositional phrase with a single underline and the preposition itself with a double underline. Okay, I mean, who wants to do that? I wouldn't want to do it. You would,
right,
be stupid.
Right.
I mean, what's the point? It has no relevancy, no bearing on reality.
Right.
But we have to do it. Well, now here's the shift. In the paragraph below are hidden 13 prepositional phrases. Find them all and you win.
Yeah. Make it a game.
See how that's just different.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, boys in particular, but a lot of girls, you know, it's like, oh, well, I like to win.
Right.
Okay, great. I'll play the game. Now, at some point, just saying you won isn't quite enough.
Right.
You know, you
there must be candy involved.
Yeah, some kind of economic system.
Sure.
And whether you use pennies or points or, you know, Pop-Tarts or peanuts, The thing that's interesting about that is, you know, that's the physical manifestation of something of value to the child that communicates to the child, your efforts are valued. There's, mm-hmm, you know, I appreciate your work. Now, some people would say, well, you're bribing the kid to do what he should do anyway. Well, bribery is when you pay someone to do something illegal or immoral.
Mm-hmm.
That's neither. You're creating a game,
mm-hmm,
and you know, I love my job and I love working and I love traveling around the world and I love teaching, but I'm not sure I would do it quite so much if there wasn't some kind of economic side to it, you know?
Right.
And, you know, children are, they're preparing to be adults, boys in particular. Mm-hmm. So if you can set up some type of system to say, hey, if you do, you know, this much of whatever in this amount of time, then you get these points or these chips or these whatever, and that has value.
Sure.
You can exchange those for some privilege or benefit down the line. And then just be sure the privilege or benefit is something that you would want for the child anyway.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. Make sure to tune in next week for the conclusion of my conversation with Andrew Pudawa. For great homeschooling videos, articles, giveaways, and more, check out members.schoolhouserocked.com and use the coupon code PODCAST10 to save 10% on any paid Backstage Pass membership. Backstage Pass members get exclusive access to full interviews from the cast of Schoolhouse Rocked and so much more. Also, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes and leave a review. Until next time, I'm Yvette Hampton, wishing you the joys of community and the wisdom to teach and learn. God bless.